Hi there, this is Dan Dugan on WGRN, the Green Renaissance. Dr. Bob Fitrakis is somewhere in rush hour traffic. He never cared for that Canadian band anyway. Somewhere up near Polaris, I think Dr. Bob is. He had a court date and he couldn't make it in. So me, Dan Dugan again, the other guy, is running the other side of the news. And fortunately, we have a guest today. Our guest is Greg Davis. He's going to tell you about the Interfaith March for Peace. And, we'll just start
and
right
justice.
On. And justice. For peace and justice. Mm-hmm. Both. And we're going to, Greg, what would you like to tell us about the event starting off? Mm-hmm. We got Sunday, September 22nd. Mm-hmm. All right. Go right ahead. It says gathering in Genoa Park.
Absolutely.
So,
First of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
And to
be part of this conversation and to speak to your audience, essentially, because I really appreciate the chance to do that. The event will be this year on September 22nd. That's a Sunday.
Right.
The event is going to start. We're going to gather at Genoa Park at 3:30 p.m.
Okay.
We're going to have
speakers.
We're going to have, in fact, at 3:45, we're going to have dedications and an opening.
What were the dedications concerned?
The dedications are for two prominent activists who Columbus lost in the past year.
Right.
So,
Reuben be one of
them? Reuben is, yes. So Rabbi Jessica Schimberg is going to be doing a dedication for Reuben. And then Gino Tucker of the Juvenile Justice Coalition is going to be doing dedication for Amber Evans.
We're really excited.
Absolutely. Amber was involved with this event last year.
This is not the mm-hmm. first time.
No, this is the third.
The third, mm-hmm. right. Okay. All right. So the first time was in 2017.
Yes. Right? Yeah, it was on April 2nd of 2017.
Okay. And then last year, when was it last year? Because I remember.
Yeah.
So when was it last year?
Last year was on April 29th of 2018.
Also, mm-hmm. it was in the spring. Okay.
Also in the spring, so we decided to shift it from spring to fall.
Less chance of rain, maybe.
Well, maybe. I hope.
Perhaps
one of the big things is I feel like April is a very busy time.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Activists and people who might want to come out to this kind of event. Mm-hmm. And by the way, nobody who comes out to the event needs to be an activist. We're trying to kind of have
right.
a big tent.
Anything.
Right. But, in April, you have all kinds of different events. And September is a lot more open. Mm-hmm. And it also has the International Day of Peace. And so,
unless you're a football fan, but that doesn't cover.
That's
most
why
of our,
it's on Sunday.
Most of our crowd. Oh, I see.
We will not know
Buckeyes.
Yeah.
On
well,
Saturday.
That's among the reasons that it's on a Sunday. It's also
you Browns as fans can stick the, it. Come out and march for peace and justice.
As an interfaith march, to do that on on a Saturday on Jewish Sabbath is obviously problematic, and so
that's true.
I'm trying to be aware of that.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's coming up. It's around the corner, really.
So there will be dedications, and then you leave the park
mm-hmm.
and go to Bicentennial Park.
Yeah, okay. so
and that's where the speakers will be.
Okay. Yes, right. Yeah. So, the first year we did it, we went from Genoa Park, and then we went up over the bridge on Broad Street.
Sure.
And then
remember
up
many a time.
Yes. And then
I'm a big fan of the free festivals downtown.
Okay.
Especially
yeah.
the music ones. I definitely make it down there when there's good music for free.
Yeah.
And sure, I'll walk those bridges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know
absolutely.
The territory. So
absolutely.
We went up Broad Street past the State House, mm-hmm. took a right in front of the Dispatch, and then came back down in front of the theater And then our destination actually for the first 2 years was the world's largest gavel, which is right in front of the justice. Supreme Court, which seemed an appropriate symbol. Interestingly, this year we found out that is closed.
Yeah,
it is fenced in.
Yeah, see, I found that out a couple weeks ago myself. Yes,
and so it is. It just is interesting that that's the case. Now, so this year we're going to go past the closed-in gavel.
Into that, are you? No, don't get paranoid.
No, we're not right. Yeah. Well, I can't help it. But we're going to go past that.
My microphone is tapped. Old joke. Sorry, Greg.
We're going to go past that one, and then we're going to go to Bicentennial Park this year,
right?
Which we're really excited about. We're going to go to the stage down there.
It's a great stage.
It is a great stage.
It really is.
I'm very excited. I'm excited to let you know that there's a group called Vocal Resistance. They participated in the 2017 march.
Okay.
And so I believe they may get us started this year with a song that's called I'm Gonna Walk It With You, which they did 2 years ago.
Okay.
I'm also excited to let
you
know.
So they're local? Mm-hmm. They're a local band?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's a local singing group.
I haven't encountered them. I used to own a nightclub.
Uh-huh.
And so for 20 years, I tried to fill my head and my eyes and ears with just about everything that was local and give a chance on stage, the more original and the more leaning our direction.
Sure.
So we were known for a lot of benefits, but I don't remember these people, but hey, that it might be some people I already know. So.
Right. It may be.
And then there's also...
They're terrific. Now, with their song, we're going to try to do what we did 2 years ago, which is to have on a website the lyrics.
Okay, cool.
So that when they're singing it, everybody can pull it up on their phone.
Right.
And everybody can sing it along with them, which is, I think, at the end of the march, a good way. And I'm honestly, Dan, kind of thinking out loud with you here because we're working on the program.
Sure.
But I think that may be a good way as the crowd enters that space for everyone to sort of sing and celebrate together.
Right.
Now, I'm also super excited to be working with a group out of Fort Hays High School called the Paragon Project.
Oh, okay, Fort Hays, yeah.
They're fantastic.
The art school down there, yeah. A number of my friends mm-hmm. that are musicians have taught down there. So.
Okay. Dr. Tony Anderson, who is a friend who I taught with previously, is the director of that, and they do spectacular work. I got to see them in that same space at the Columbus Festival of Arts. They were there.
Right.
And so we have musicians from the Paragon Project who are actually going to be joining us and singing. So that's going to be really spectacular. And then Gino Tucker, again from the Juvenile Justice Coalition, is going to be
speaking
there.
Okay.
Usjid Hamid from CARE Columbus is going to be there speaking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We're going to have...
Well, it says they're collaborate across faith traditions. So
yes, and I want to just quickly, a couple other speakers. Gwen Stelter is going to be there as well as Debbie Stokes. So we're really excited about the lineup that we have. And Imran Malik.
Do you want to give their background a little bit?
Imran Malik is going to be the MC.
Okay.
And I can't say enough good things about him. He is the executive president of the Noor Islamic Cultural Center.
Oh, all right.
Since the very beginning, he has been just a wonderful supporter of all the work that we're trying to do. I am by no means any kind of professional in this. I'm, you know.
He might have been at the Buddhist temple that my wife and son and I myself had mm-hmm. attended, had burned down. And
mm-hmm.
There was a interfaith gathering that day, and he may have been there that day.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least because he's a really wonderful, mm-hmm. Really wonderful, just representative.
Yeah, they were dedicating, you know, the project to rebuild it.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway. So,
yes.
So you have
and Father Vinnie McKiernan. I want to get on the program as well. We're very fortunate. This a whole nother aspect of what has happened is that we have. Sister events in other cities.
Right.
So what happened?
That happened last year.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. The second
March.
On April 2nd of 2017, at the end of the first event, I was just completely worn out and exhausted and basically just publicly,
really?
I just said, I will not be doing this again. And then Taranjit Bhatia, incidentally,
two,
is an awesome.
Weeks,
another,
weeks,
and he was
6 months.
He was instantly like, "That's a false statement."
Yeah. You started this engine. You're going to keep driving this.
Yeah.
Thing.
So and he, so he pushed me to, and other people were like, "Well, when do we start?" And I'm like, "When do, I'm, I just
what are you
said,
looking
I'm
at me
done.
For right."
But Rebecca C. E. Brown is an amazing individual, and she. She was an organizer, is an organizer with a group called Peace Catalyst.
Okay.
And so I had never met her before April 2nd, 2017. She came to that event, and I am not a megaphone person. I'm actually very nervous about public speaking. And so she.
Unfortunately, I'm not. Unfortunately, for some people.
If I can
sometimes
see people's
myself.
Faces, it makes it far worse.
Okay.
But at any rate, she. Was at that event, and I had to take the megaphone at first, but I was kind of like, does anybody want this? Because I
sure.
wanted to ditch it.
There you go. There you
and
go.
She was like, I'll take it. And yeah. she had – literally, she had a
some
baby
people just, yeah.
in a sling.
There you go.
A baby
right.
in a sling.
Yeah.
And she picked up the megaphone, yep. and she led the march for like a block and a half.
There you go.
So she was obviously impressive. You know, after the event – you know, we spoke, and she introduced herself. She's an organizer for this group, Peace Catalyst. Mm-hmm. And so we exchange emails and everything. And then she had the idea. And so the spreading of this event is actually her fault because it was her idea.
I see. Okay.
Yes. So she
– Now we're getting done.
She said, you know, we have organizers in 16 cities in the United States. So why not – when we do it again next year, do it in multiple locations.
Sure.
And so at
I
that,
see, I mm-hmm. see, I see a picture here from Boise, Idaho.
That's a so picture from Boise, Idaho.
Fill us in on a few more cities that'll be participating.
Yes. Yeah.
Did,
yeah. Yeah.
Which,
so,
which just I was asking if you could tell us a few just right now. What cities would
okay.
those be?
Okay.
Do you know?
Any? Okay. Yeah. I know some.
Ah, okay.
I know them.
I'm just. I'm excited. This is great.
I'm excited. No, it's phenomenal. So
besides Boise, I'm sorry,
yeah.
you were finishing that story.
No, no.
I'm interrupting you.
No, I'll tell you. So obviously, you know, a peace march can look a lot of different ways. A peace and justice march can look a lot of different ways. And so we wanted to be careful as we sort of branched out to have some measure of control about what is the message, what is the tone of our event. It's a peaceful,
okay.
nonpartisan event. Our mission is to publicly reassert the basic principles of equal justice for all and religious liberty for all. So it's not fancy. It's a big tent event.
Yeah, religious liberty for some people can really be an issue. Because
when
as soon as you mention religion to some folks.
Yes. And incidentally,
they want theirs
I,
to be first or they want none at all. And you know,
right.
So, yeah.
And I do want to hasten to add that religious affiliation is not any kind of requirement.
Oh, no.
Many people
no,
are
I don't
moved
think you
to
have made
speak.
That point. No,
so okay. That's a super important point. And
oh, yeah.
We want to be sure.
No, I was just saying that
people
yeah.
know. What it, actually, the includes impetus.
All ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
The, originally, the
even
impetus.
Even the religious.
This, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Because
right.
people are moved by their faith to act in
absolutely.
You know, righteous ways.
Yeah.
And that's, and you know, obviously, we support
Martin
that.
Martin Luther King, Gandhi, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah,
and actually, so the impetus for this event in the first place was I went to an event called Meet Your Muslim Neighbor, which was on December 3rd, 2016, and a gentleman there talked about how his his aunt and his cousin who were in hijab. They were walking through a parking lot, and somebody rolled up in a car and basically said, you know, go back to your own country, which is so cowardly and so deeply offensive.
And it's at the event for Meet Your Muslim.
And if it even matters, they're both American Muslims, it doesn't matter. But it's just like, just when I heard that, I was instantly, I had already been agitated. And so that kind of just pushed it over the edge. But at that point, I said, well, we're doing something. And then I had a plan to march in 6 weeks or something like that, 4 weeks, because I just felt like an immediate need to do something.
Right.
And then my mom very wisely was like, you need to slow down. And then she hooked me up. And this is how it got. Yeah, she knew.
But Greg, before we go any further, let me just hope that mothers out there know you're listening to The Other Side of the News. No Dr. Bob this week. He's stuck somewhere in traffic. And I am hosting Dan Dugan, the other guy usually. And today I'm the guy. We're also on, besides being on WGRN 94.1, we're on WCRS 92.7 and 98.3. And you can find us on the internets. And now we're back to Greg Davis and his telling us about the March for Peace and Justice and the history of it. So after the Muslim Day, where you had been, that it was part of your inspiration.
No, that was the...
Or you were already...
Yeah. And it wasn't... The word inspiration feels a little funny because I was just...
Okay.
Just angry, just agitated. I just felt... It feels like there are times when...
Whatever works for motivation is kind of how my mind works.
It just feels wrong to say nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was and I don't care like how at some level, and what we were talking about before, you know, we came on, at some level, if six people show up to an event, well then God bless those six people, because they've been moved to say something.
Right. Now you're sound. This is how I told you I owned a nightclub for 20 years. Uh-huh. There were nights when some of the best live entertainment you could imagine, musical entertainment, is on stage, and there's six people there. And I'm going, well, hey, six people know what's happening tonight. So,
The way I think about it is, ethically speaking, it makes no difference. If you're out there with six people, and the situation right now.
You still carry the flag.
Let me give you an example. So, Ames, Iowa. Participated last year, which we were very happy about.
Yeah,
just found out very recently that the lead organizer in Ames, Iowa, had fallen on some very difficult times. He cannot lead it, and so very recently, the question is: well, is Ames, Iowa, going to be in or not?
Okay. Right.
The answer is, and I'm a Quaker.
Oh,
and
really?
I
find the concept of the Quaker meeting fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's somewhat like recovery rooms, in a way. Well, in the recovery rooms, it's a discussion, each taking their turn. I'm not sure exactly how it works with Craig, but I do know it's not with a lectern or, you know, a deacon or someone up in the front.
Right. Right,
you face each other.
It's the basic principle.
And have a discussion.
Is equality. Actually, there's rarely discussion. So the principle is you're sort of waiting in silence to feel. And I've been going to North Columbus Friends meeting for 4 or 5 years, and I've never felt moved to say anything. But the leaders that are there. They will, and I feel that's great. It's based on the principle of equality, so anyone can be moved to speak or say something.
Right.
And so, at any rate, the ones in Ames, Iowa, I was reaching out to today to say, if can you get 10 people out there? Because it doesn't need to be gigantic.
Right.
It's a public reassertion of the basic principles of equal justice for all people and religious liberty for all people. So if you can make that happen publicly, if you can use media like you guys, this is a wonderful chance for us to broadcast that message more widely than
it's
than
all about the First Amendment, doing, as far as I'm concerned. So.
To me, it's all about saying something in the face of things that seem completely wrong and unjust.
Thank you.
So, you know, we have in the past years, like the first year, as I mentioned, that, you know, with the Muslim ban going on, with all kinds of harassment, with anti-Semitism,
the overt cemeteries racism that goes on at the border,
the list and goes
Bob
on
and I have
on.
Spoken quite a bit about the resurgence of the white nationalist supremacists, basically.
So in our first year, we petitioned then Attorney General Mike DeWine to make a public statement guaranteeing that his office would aggressively prosecute hate crimes. Last year, we took up and supported some anti-bullying legislation that was in the State House. This year, we really do want to highlight issues of racial justice. And so the idea that of the Juvenile Justice Coalition, you know, coming on board and supporting initiatives like the, you know, Counselors Not Cuffs, where, you know, we are using school resources to help students so that they can do their best instead of filling schools with resource officers who are basically may be part of a school to prison pipeline and that sort of thing.
Well, and it has been said at many gatherings, no peace without justice. And
And that's absolutely. And we want to focus on equal justice for all.
Right.
We want to focus on one human family. Okay. So, you know, as we make signs, we're making signs that say equal justice for all. We're making signs that say one human family. Our big banner, our 9-foot banner in the front says malice towards none, dignity for all. Our target audience is really people on the fence who may honestly say, of course, equal justice for all.
Right.
Like, what kind of American am I if I can't support equal justice for all?
Sure.
So at any rate,
but might not be aware that in application of those principles, many people are shoved aside, mistreated,
and have been for 400 years.
But I feel like if the Trump administration doesn't bring this to bear, I'm not sure what it would take to get people off the fence. But
I'm always off of their phones too. I mean, that's part of it too. Is that we need to be in public spaces, in public spaces, to make this. To make this happen. So, you know, to come back to the big picture, because we're actually – I just see we're getting kind of short on time. So when in 2017, we created this
assembly. We were concerned we were gonna have to fill the show without Bob, and we're doing just fine. We haven't even really gotten into your Toledo roots.
We're going to run out.
Go ahead. Go.
So not interrupt. 2017, we thought we would have 16 right off the bat because of – the Peace Catalyst cities. It didn't turn out that way. Okay. We wound up with 9 U.S. cities, which was still very exciting and enormous growth. We happened to coincide with an event in Los Angeles that had the same exact themes. It's called the Interfaith Solidarity March. We've partnered with that group. They're called the Institute for Religious Tolerance, Peace, and Justice. And so
that's a mouthful.
Yes, it is. So Los Angeles is on board this year. Ventura, California is on board this year. Grass Valley, California. Boise, Idaho. Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm really excited about Cheyenne, Wyoming. They have an amazing coalition there, and I feel really fortunate. There's a guy, Joe Ramirez, there. He's been doing this since the 70s, since I was born, basically. And they have a wonderful coalition. And with him, the sign, like the idea, malice towards none, dignity for all, really resonated. So they're on board. I'm excited. You know, Ames, Iowa, I mentioned.
My aforementioned son and ex that are Buddhists were just in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and loved one of the museums, several that they went to. But anyway.
Yeah. So Chicago, Illinois, and then Toledo, Zanesville, which I could not be more excited about.
Wow.
Yes. There's Holland and Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then Columbia, South Carolina. I won't go into that right now. But the two – I feel like the two gems this year – aside from Columbus, obviously.
Zanesville.
But
I'm sorry, being no offense, from Newark, Ohio, or NERC, that was our rival – and I know Zanesville, and I think that's just great.
I'm really thrilled about them being participants. But two that are really huge in Pittsburgh, the Tree of Life Synagogue.
Okay. Oh man,
is partnering with us, and they're doing an event there. And in Charlottesville, Virginia, They're doing an event there. And
excellent.
Joe Shaver, who is just a wonderful person and organizer, he is leading the event there. And Susan Breaux, who is the mother of Heather Heyer, who was the woman killed on August 12th, 2017, is speaking at that event. So we're really, really fortunate and happy.
And all of this, again, is tied in on the 22nd.
That's all on the 22nd of September. Excellent. And I do have to say Deb Lindsay of First Community Church, the First Community Church Foundation, has been just instrumental and super supportive of this.
Yes,
we applied for and received a grant from the First Community Foundation, which allowed a lot of this to happen. My mom, Barb Davis,
there you go.
My mom, Barb and Terry Davis, have been great supporters.
Awesome.
They've helped to get us police escorts and things that are we want to feel safe. And everybody who comes out to this, we want them to feel safe and participate in an event that's going to be peaceful. It's going to be, we hope, powerful. The Harmony Project, I failed to mention. The Harmony Project has approved this as a volunteer project.
Wow.
I am hoping, Harmony Project, if you're listening, September 13th of 2020 is going to be the next one. We'd love to get them in full force on stage.
I fell into it.
With us.
I was told to go to Veterans Memorial, the new one. And there would be some singing on top of the roof. And the next thing I know, I'm singing with. Everybody sang.
They're amazing.
I stand next to my friend Happy Chichester, a local musician, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Harmony Project, that would be great.
And they're going to have volunteers out there. Mark Stansberry.
I have to
shout out for Mark Stansberry. As I've been busy trying
to. The Stansberry family has for a very long time been.
Yes.
Yes.
B. Behind, Stansberry.
Marching for peace and justice.
Yes, and Mark has been leading the organizing of the Columbus event this year. As I've been busy trying to connect with people in other locations, we're going to have 17 U.S. Locations this year.
Wow.
And so we're really excited about the growth of it, and we hope that may continue. September 13th of 2020 is going to be in the lead up to the election, obviously, and so we're really committed to trying to just keep standing up for that those basic principles of equal justice for all people and religious liberty for all people. I think it's what the nation at its best is supposed to be all about.
Absolutely, Greg. Once again, on Sunday, September 22nd, it's the Interfaith March for Peace and Justice. It'll be a gathering at Genoa Park at 3:30 p.m., and then March will follow. Also, speakers, music, get involved. It beats the heck out of sitting around trying to figure out how to tell other people what to do. Come on out, and we really appreciate it. This is The Other Side of the News, WGRN, The Green Renaissance, and I'm Dan Dugan. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.